Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. What is synergy? I always ask my clients, my listeners, my followers, what is synergy to you? Well, a lot of them don't even know the definition of the word, but they say it sounds powerful. And I say, yes, it is. It's what we create when we come together and combine our power. That's a pretty important force. When we unite, we can either create positive energy, exponentially increased, or negative energy with other people exponentially. That's a pretty significant influence that we have on other people and that they have on us. So what I decided when I became a life coach was I wanted to teach people how to use their power. But then I decided, no, I need to be a relationship coach because I wanted to focus more on how they were empowering each other as individuals in their relationships, because that would eventually manifest in the other parts of their life that they wanted to improve. Perhaps it was in their career or financially or their health. Yeah, those are all very important life goals and ambitions, you know, things we need to pursue. But again, it always came back down to their relationships in each of those different settings. So if you think about power and how you have power over other people and then how they have power over you, what does that mean to you personally? How do you feel about that dynamic? Well, you know what? Last week I was at a homeless shelter talking to the residents about their experiences. And I've actually started a campaign for them, these homeless shelter, what I call victims, because they need someone to create powerful, positive energy for them, with them, in order to facilitate their success. So what I did was just basically start a GoFundMe campaign on homeless shelter victims, because they do feel victimized. But instead of just complaining about it and going out begging strangers for more money, I thought, now I have a lot of social power in amongst my field. I have some colleagues who respect me and they want to work with me in a professional way. I have a history of clientele who have really come to appreciate how powerful they are and how much good information can empower them to do them good and to empower them to be better. So when I thought, you know what, there are a lot of good people in the world who have the power to do long-term good for the people in these facilities, not just giving them a handout or helping them with an isolated task. Maybe they were asking help for a ride somewhere. They do want to make their world better. But let's look at the big picture and the fundamentals of human relationships and personal power. And you know what? Any issues that my program has raised among viewers, listeners, and supporters, I thought now is a good time to talk about those details. There have been questions that have been asked, not only of me, but of these residents who have taken advantage of the opportunities. Well, what opportunities are they? And what really does my campaign consist of? Well, you know what? There's a lot of issues that people have with the homeless, and the homeless likewise have issues with the people running these shelters. There are a lot of different programs. They have different policies and procedures that the staff is supposed to comply with as much as the residents. And so when I was there for some time, I actually resided there because I wanted to see firsthand what everyone was talking about. And I wanted to learn more about the intricacies and the logistics of how these institutions were being run and continued to run. Because everyone can have an opinion about, you know what, homeless people, who's at fault for the homeless? Well, they are, because they're not working hard enough. If they just worked harder, oh, okay, well, maybe not. Well, how about the fact that they're mentally ill and they need mental health, professional help more than they need money or housing? Because you know what, if they're all druggies and they're all criminals and they're stupid and they're lazy, you know what, money, even homework, homework, homing and home shelters or facilities. It could be even a transitional housing. That's not really going to help them because that's not the problem. Okay, so then that would beg the next question, whose responsibility is it to fix it? Well, a lot of the funding that is generated for this goes into an account, right? They have special, let's say, taxes that are charged for people, and they're put into a fund, a special homeless shelter fund that political leaders can tap into. But okay, whose responsibility is it to fix the problem? Again, it's not just money. We're talking about the problems that the residents face on a daily basis in the form of challenges, not only in their personal life, but self-improvement and growth. What are the programs and what are the basically community programs that have opportunities for the residents of these establishments to take advantage of? Well, you know, it kind of depends on the way you look at improvement. Again, there are different social outlets that they offer for people to attend to say, okay, well, this is for personal growth, or they have different programs that they can get, well, maybe some counseling, but your counselor, no, that's just your caseworker. They're going to go ahead and direct you to all of the community resources that they give you a list of when you first enter. But you know what? Let's get down to the very basics. What's a solution that we can agree on? That's what I realized was the dividing force in these places. When we have one mentality of the people who are financing these places, a different mentality amongst the employees of these institutions, and then a completely different mindset of the people who are staying there, is there going to be any real success, any genuine help that would have a long-term permanent effect, not only on the individuals taking advantage of these opportunities and maximizing these community resources, but society as a whole? I got to tell you, I was really shocked when I first saw these places. There were actually three different ones, and I kind of covered them in the show last week. If you want to kind of get the overview of them, I listed them all and interviewed the residents. There was CAS, HSC, and Halley. I spent a brief amount of time in each one as a resident because I really wanted to see the different policies and procedures that they had, but I also wanted to see how loyally the employees conformed and complied with the procedures and the policies. How consistently were they enforced? And what was any recourse that could occur in the event that the people running these places did not comply? Wow. Okay, you know what? The inconsistencies were very overwhelming to the people who live there. It was very discouraging when the employees were in fact the ones who would laugh in the faces of the residents. And then the security guards, well, apparently I found out they worked for an entirely different institution. So whatever the employees were saying, that wasn't really their concern. What? How can that happen? How can that be anything successful long-term for the residents when there is even division among the authority figures in those different places? And I didn't learn this until about 4 weeks into the program. My case manager, who also called himself a counselor, which I think is something of a misnomer, was saying, well, we don't know anything about what's going on with the security guards. How is that possible? I asked him, how can you live with yourself knowing that other people have made the same complaints to me, with me, to you about this, and nothing is being done? It always came back to, well, there's nothing I can do about it. My hands are tied. This is the responsibility of the people above me in the company. And I went, whoa. Okay, so show me the person higher up than you, because we need to go ahead and bring this to their attention. And I have some public resource of my own when I have listeners and viewers and followers on professional websites, on social websites that are of a professional nature. I have colleagues and I have different fields, there we go, of colleagues who don't just do my kind of work. They do different kinds of work, but they cooperate and collaborate. They get together. So if one person knows that there's a problem, they're going to tell everybody else in that professional venue who might know somebody who knows somebody who can do something because they have an ability to actually enforce some kind of power. And I thought, you know what? It's not going to hurt just to find out, take an inventory of what people think and how they feel about what's going on. But I can't do that until I get to the higher ups. Okay. So they have something called a grievance that you can file. It is a very formal sheet of paper. You have to give your name and your address and your phone number and your ID number, because as a resident, you are assigned a case number. That's your identification. And then you write down the very specific description of what's going on. And you can even include what you want to see happen to improve that situation. You can absolutely give suggestions, or you can just leave it blank and say, you know what? I trust you that you're going to take care of this in the best possible way. So I filled out a couple of them, and Nothing happened. I asked my case manager, what's going on? And he said, oh, I don't know. I put it in the box where it's supposed to go. I said, well, where does it go after that? He said, I don't know. It's not my job to know that. And I said, okay, one more check against you. One more strike. Do I even know that anyone has seen this? Do I get to know who gets to see this? Well, after raising a little hell, I found out who one of the higher ups was. And I even got her phone number and email address. And I said, okay, this is something that's going on, and I need to know the next step, because these issues aren't being resolved at all. Not only is it not in an effective, you know, timely way, but I haven't even gotten a response of recognition of these things. And she said, well, you know what? There are policies and procedures. And I said, and you need to tell them to me now, okay? Because everyone else that I've spoken to either says it's not their concern, it's not their priority, it's not their qualification. Yeah, or they just don't know. Okay, but so let me just throw this out to all my listeners and my viewers and my followers. Of the four I's that I dealt with just up to this point, what, in your opinion, is the most destructive? Impotence, incompetence, ignorance, or indifference? Because I saw them all. They were all happening simultaneously, and they were fueling and perpetuating each other. So you know what I said? Then I need to go to an attorney. I need to get an attorney and find out what's going on and see what actual recourse I would have legally in this kind of situation, because this is a business. You made me sign a contract to enter here as a resident, and I don't see what's going on in any way. And there needs to be a next step that I can be, well, you know what? I was kicked out. I went to the next one. I was kicked out. I filed these grievances, and I even said, you know what? I'm going to take pictures of these grievances so that I have a physical legal record of what I said and who I gave it to. And then you're going to have to prove that you did in fact receive it, because if you don't, that's the fault of the person that I turned it into. If you do receive it and you just don't do it what you need to do, then it's the fault of the person between us. Or if you know it and you say, well, I'm going to get around to it, and you don't do it, then it is in fact your fault. The higher ups, they know full well what's going on, and they don't want to do anything about it. You know what? I actually got a couple of times, well, you know what? We don't have the money for the things that you need and that you want. Well, you know what? I found out about 2 months ago on the news, actually, that these places have about $8 million in a fund that they, you know, just haven't really put to any good use, because they're not really sure how to use their money. Well, okay, I said, here's one of the things you need to do. You need to put a surveillance camera system in, because every time I turn in one of these grievances, you don't fix the problem. Well, apparently they do have surveillance cameras. And I'm like, okay, well then when I say that something happened to me, that one of these authority figures in your institution has done something, sometimes just unethical, other times blatantly illegal, this needs to be the evidence that I have to make a case. It's called a burden of proof, because it's my burden. It's my responsibility to prove to you that what I have said is in fact happening. Yeah, okay, so I got kicked out of a third one. But I said every single time I turn in a grievance, I'm taking a picture of this because when I actually go outside of these, oh, charities, they're charities. That's why they're not micromanaged by the political higher ups. Basically, charities don't have to follow the law the way a business would. Okay, that, you know what? I think that was probably the deal breaker for me. So I just said, you know what? Then I need to go ahead and get residents to confirm and to collaborate and corroborate with me when I say, look, maybe the fact that these places shouldn't qualify as charities, maybe there needs to be a class action lawsuit against the establishment, but maybe it just needs to be a matter of the people who work here being removed. Maybe we just need to replace them with better quality people who want to do some genuine good for the residents. I'm not sure yet, but I'm going to get people who live here and actually feel abandoned and abused and tortured sometimes, but definitely undermined all the time to come to each other and say, wait a minute. We don't deserve this. We are in a temporarily bad situation. Maybe I just lost my job and I need a place to stay for 3 or 4 weeks while I'm getting my new place. Or maybe, you know what? I need a new job. I can have a career coach and they can help me get the help with my resume or the applications turned in. There could be a lot of very simple, basic things that people need. But what happens is after being around that negative energy, the toxicity of the synergy of many, many, many people with negative energy, that has actually undermined their will to keep going or their ability to think clearly or maybe their interest in actually improving in the first place. Wow. Okay. So let's go ahead and go to the very, very primary force of humanity. That's clarification. We need to know what we're thinking and what we're feeling as people. It's important to remember that when we are thinking something and when we're feeling something, if we are not mindfully proactive, we're not going to have success simply because there are so many forces, external forces and elements in our daily life that could undermine us and be, well, you know what, more interested in themselves and maybe what we're asking for help with or that we're asking them directly for help for, with, around, about. You know what? It's just tougher than what they want to deal with so they can distract us away from what we're doing or confuse us. Okay, so clarification is an individual element in the whole resolution process because it is going to be the basis for resolution. Everything that needs to happen will happen on top of, as a result of, and based on accurate, specific information. That's the definition of what the problem even is in the first place. Okay, well, you know what? Sometimes if we're talking about a 6-month program of success, 4 of those months could be working just on clarification of the issue because an issue might have several facets, several elements that are intertwined and interdependent and reactive to each other. So we can get confused or lost or, you know what, just overwhelmed because it's too confusing. When we have that peace of mind that comes from clarity, we're more likely to continue on and we're more likely and more capable of seeing potential solutions, possibilities, outlets that we wouldn't have seen before because when we're overwhelmed, we don't have the same clarity of thought and power of volition. Now, what the actual problem is in all of these shelters, no, just in these particular places. The actual problem is that most of the people who are running these places on a daily basis, the actual employees that you will see if you walk into the office, if you walk into the cafeteria, if you walk around the grounds of these different places, yeah, how about the showers? They're really, really miserable people. They're very, very sick people, and they do not care. You know what? When you say, I don't care, it's not a problem. Yeah, it is. Indifference is toxic because as humans, we always have feelings. We cannot turn our feelings off. The only way that can happen is if we disconnect from ourselves. Wow. Actually, that's disconnecting from each other. For ourselves, we have to actually detach from what's going on inside of us. That includes our thoughts and our own feelings. That is a job. We are not meant to be that way. We are not built to do that. It does take time for us to become absent in our thoughts and our feelings to the point of not caring. We're indifferent. You know what? It's not my problem. I don't really care. Then that facilitates ignorance, because if people don't care, then they're not going to want to know about how to fix the problem that could be right in front of them. It could very well be an obvious problem, but if they don't care, if they're indifferent about something, that then spills over into their other thoughts and feelings that do not have anything to do with the original situation that created that negativity in them. Some people say, well, if I'm not feeling anything, that's not positive or negative. Yes, it's very negative, because what it's doing is cutting off your access to the positive. So now think about that. Forget about the situation of the homeless right now. Just think about yourself and take a brief personal inventory. How many things in your life are you indifferent about? Do you just genuinely not care? Yeah, it doesn't really matter to me. It's not good or bad. Yeah, when you know something, you do have an opinion about it. Even a negative feeling is better than absence of feeling, because it's an indication that there's still a part of you that is attached to your own thoughts and feelings about those things. We do care about people. That's how humans are built. How we say, okay, you know what? I do care about you. I'm not necessarily going to do anything, because it would be in your best interest to not do something. Your positive energy is still alive inside of you. Even if you have to do something that may create a negative response inside of other people, like walking away from a situation saying, I can't help you right now. Yeah, that could create a negative feeling inside of someone. But if you know that it will be in their best interest and your intentions are good, your motivations are positive because you do still genuinely care. That's what matters in the principles of synergy, in the power of social energy. You know what? The source of corruption, most of the time, it is the negativity of greed, right? Selfishness. Sometimes people are just genuinely mentally and emotionally ill. Those are the people who should not be in these institutions. They should not be participating in the programs to make people's lives better. That they are not qualified, and they should not participate in the improvement of other people's lives. So now, when we're talking about the division and conflict among the residents and staff, you know what? That's the cause of the problem, but the source of that cause is that toxicity of people. So now when we're talking about the source, the cause, the effect, it's hard to discern and to distinguish what people's motivations are, what their intentions are, and then what the result is. But when we're talking about the toxicity of these places, remember, the source is the corruption of the people. The cause of the problem is division and conflict among the residents and staff. But the effect is no success for the residents when they do not get the jobs that they need or the housing that they deserve, because they may have worked very hard to comply with all of the policies and procedures, all of the programs and the standards. They have complied, but they still don't have success because of the corruption and the conflict that is a daily and perpetual element for everybody living there. Yeah, it's tough to make your life better. There's a lot of work involved. But again, cooperation, the positive energy that empowers the synergy that facilitates the success of the people who need these programs. Okay, you know what? So let's talk about this. Now, We figured out the problem, but what is the solution then? Because you know what? Most people, when I reached out to them and said, I need your help, we, right, as a community, need your help to address and resolve all of the negative things that happen in these places. Their result is, or their response is, what one thing could I do? The problem is so huge that anything that I give you now or that I do now is going to be a very, very, very small piece of a very large puzzle. Or my help and support is going to be so insignificant in quantity, but also quality, because I do not have the political power. I do not have the social influence to change 500 people who are living there. You know what? Cooperation and unity are vital for success, because that's the opposite of the modus operandi that is divide and conquer inside of these places. They actually know full well the counselors, what do you call them, the case managers that I said, even the security guards and the staff, they know for a fact that when they get the people who live there angry at each other, and they undermine their own personal happiness, they will not ever have the cooperation of these residents, to where if the residents get together and say, wait a minute, that happened to you? That happened to me too. If we have 4, 5, 10, 20 people making that same complaint consistently on the record, that will have power and influence, because it will be proof that what we're saying is not just one person in a bad mood making up faulty stories that are not legitimate just because they're having a bad day. No, this is an actual issue that needs to be resolved, something that needs to be addressed by the people who have the power to address and resolve these problems. So when we get together and say, as a community, when I reach out to people and say, as a community, can you help me help these people? Because I don't live there anymore. I got all of the evidence that I needed. I took pictures. I took recordings. I have audio recordings of what they said and what they did. I took pictures of every single one of my 46 grievances. And I went to a legal institution and I said, look, we need to file a class action lawsuit. What they said was, you need to get the unity and the numbers, just the strength in numbers of people corroborating what you've said. Because when it's just you, it's not going to have any real power. It's not going to have any influence. You're not going to be able to do anything effectively. So you know what? The modus operandi of these places is divide and conquer. Well, you know what? Now it's time to come together and support, unify and support. Okay, so everything involved in the GoFundMe promotion that I started, the campaign that I started, is based on a philosophy that I actually learned from a company about, I want to say 20 years ago. Now, the philosophy of this company is that everyone who wants to participate in our marketing program has to give a little bit, and they all have to give up front. Now, I'm just going to kind of give you an overview of what it involves. It was a marketing company that would sell gift certificates for salons and day spas. Now, here's the really cool thing. They never, ever charged the salons or day spas for the sale of these gift certificates, but they got to keep everything from the sales. They literally would keep all of the, yeah, I was going to say profit, but there was nothing, there was no cost. So they would keep 100% of the sale money. Now listen to this. What the gift certificates included was 3 separate visits to the establishment, and it was a total of 12 different services. Okay, well, you know what? That was a really nice gift certificate. That thing was worth $300, because that's a lot at a salon or a day spa. 12 services can get very expensive. What they basically said, the marketing company said, was we're going to split that into 3 visits. So what that's going to do is give you the opportunity for the repeat, right, customer. If they go 3 different times, they're creating a habit. Okay, we are going to go out and literally go up to people in the community and say, we have created this gift certificate for this particular establishment. It's worth $300. We're only going to charge you $45 for it. Wow, that's a really good deal. That's 90% off, or like 87% off for the customer. The only deal is you have to pay for it up front. Okay, well, you know what? $45. Yeah, I'll give you $45 to get $300 worth of stuff. And then we get, as the marketing company, we would get to keep all $45. So, okay, the point is the establishment had to redeem all the gift certificates. That was what they would contribute to the success of this program. We would go out and get to literally talk to 5,000 people to sell 250 to 300 gift certificates, but we got to keep everything that we earned. And then the customer, they would get 90% off. They just had to pay for it before they came in. Well, look at that. We all won, but we all had to give something, a sacrifice up front before we would get the reward. Yeah, the establishment had to provide the service and earn that customer's trust and their reputability, right, as an establishment, and their credit in performance. We had to go out and find the customers of the marketing company, but we got to keep a whole lot of money because they weren't actually too hard to sell. And the customer had to do two things. First of all, pay up front, but they had to come back in three different visits. They couldn't get it all in one day. So that's still really good. And here's the principle, ladies and gentlemen, if you are willing to put in the investment of either the time or the money or the service before you expect anything else, that is a positive energy that you are creating. That is going to be the foundation for your success, because your positive energy is going to attract, draw in more positive energy. And you know what? If someone says, forget it, I don't want to be a part of this, great, then get out of my way. I have more positive energy to create with people of a similar mindset, the same attitude. We will be successful. Everything you can do to help people directly or indirectly, you are going to perpetuate and propel positive energy. Yes, that is powerful. It is influential. And even if it does not manifest some positive solution directly in front of you exactly at the time that you take that good, proactive, positive action, it will still affect your environment, your surroundings, and the people that are going to feel the effects of whatever choice that you made with that positive attitude, based on that positive principle enforced by your positive energy and reinforced by the manifestation of whatever comes to fruition. Those are going to be the elements in your life that will be the foundation for the good things that you create outside of yourself. But it can't happen until it's inside of you first. And most people know that. You know what? They know that what they're thinking and feeling is very powerful because it's going to affect what they do. But they don't necessarily believe that if it's not shown manifesting directly in front of them, to them, they're not necessarily trusting that it will happen in a good way. So there is a certain amount of surrender that is required. And that's another factor of synergy. What you feel and what you believe is going to be something that will affect someone else. You have to know that the way we work as humans, the way nature works as an independent force, it's very interdependent and it's very enforced by both forces, and it's going to continue to grow. And then that's why you need to know, if you are not part of the solution, you are propelling. That's even worse than perpetuating a problem. Knowledge is power. Well, is ignorance bliss? Not really, because you know inside yourself that the power that you have to do good things, yeah, it counts. It matters. And the potential to do bad inside of you, it's just as serious, because, yeah, the human element is very powerful. It's something that we can't always put into words or explain, but we do know that it's there. Okay, so one of the things that I want to talk about as well is the conundrum of feelers. I talk a lot about the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator Personality Profile System, because it's a large part of what I teach people about themselves and their personal success, their personal power. You have to understand how you do things just as a general modus operandi in your life. The third letter of your personality is how you make decisions. There's a thinker or a feeler. Well, some people believe that thinkers are smarter and feelers are more emotional. That's not true. Thinkers are just people who make decisions based on analytical, logistical, rational, intelligent information. Feelers are people who make decisions based on the needs, the human needs of other people. You know what? Sometimes our needs don't make sense on paper. Sometimes our feelings, our emotional needs don't really add up. They're not rational. They're not logical. But a feeler is a person who would say, I'm going to make a decision in my life, take action based on the needs, genuine personal needs of other people. That is a great quality to have. There aren't as many feelers in the world as thinkers, but you know what? The world needs both. Feelers are very, very powerful in their influence on over other people because they recognize what other people need much more easily, much more readily than thinkers do. But here's a conundrum of feelers. Their best quality is simultaneously also their greatest weakness, simply because they care so much about other people's happiness and success that sometimes they forget about their own. So they can have a tendency to go to an extreme. When they make a decision, they can end up making a decision that harms them in the process of helping someone else. And that's why I wanted to be sure that this GoFundMe campaign and the whole process of helping out the homeless is about understanding what they need. Yes, on paper, logistically, rationally, academically, yeah, they need homes, they need jobs, they need the income support system, they need all of these different monetary resources, physical resources. But you know what? They also need the intelligent information and the emotional support, the confirmation, personal confirmation that, yeah, they're good people and they have intelligence and they have strength and they have value as people. That's going to be something that will propel and perpetuate their personal success. And then it will also increase the quality of their ability to relate to other people. And that will again extend into having impact on other people's success as well. Okay, so then let's think about this too. Why don't more people offer help? Well, there can be a lot of different reasons. Sometimes they say, because my help just isn't important. It just doesn't have any value. So it's a lot of work. It's a lot of effort. And if it's not really going to do any long-term permanent good, then it's not worth the investment of my time or energy or attention. Well, but is that really true? I mean, think about this. When you know that someone needs help, there's a principle of there's more joy in giving than there is in receiving. Don't we all know on some level that that is the inherent draw of humanity? It is to help and support people. When does it really hurt you to invest your time and energy in someone else? Well, only when you're being punished or harmed or damaged in some way. Sometimes rejection, yeah, that's annoying, but it doesn't really do you harm in a profound or a long-term way. It's just, it feels bad when we're rejected. But if we understand why we're being rejected, then we can say, wait a minute, there's something else here besides what I've offered you. Let's go ahead and take a closer look at what else might be going on beyond what I was originally helping you with. Okay, well, that kind of spills over to the next question. Why don't more people accept help? Well, you know what? First of all, because it's embarrassing sometimes to acknowledge that you need help in the first place. not many people want to accept that they need help, because it could mean a lot of different things. It could mean they're weak, or they're stupid, or they're impotent. It could be because they're a bad person, they're a failure, for a lot of different social judgment calls. Well, but you know what? We all need help in some way at some time. It's just a matter of which kind of help do we need? And if we do have a certain kind of need and someone else is offering support in providing for that need that we have, that's a wonderful thing, because it's creating the foundation for connection that is about a relationship that creates synergy, positive energy. It doesn't have to be an intimate relationship. It doesn't have to be a long-term relationship. It just has to be a quality relationship based on that positive energy. But you know what? Some people say, well, I have bad feelings around that person. Bad feelings are not the same thing as bad energy, negative energy, because we have feelings that are sometimes negative. That's just our body's way of saying, you need to take care of this issue. You need to take care of whatever's going on in this situation. So I'm going to wake you up by creating different experiences inside of you, different chemical processes and thoughts and feelings inside of you as a motivation to get this taken care of, to fixed, resolved, whatever it is, so that you can move on and be more successful in whatever it was you were doing to begin with. Well, you know what? Some people say, I don't want to do it if it's not going to be appreciated. If I've done something and it's not appreciated by someone, then it's not worth doing it. Well, do you believe that? Do you think that if someone doesn't directly and immediately and very overtly express gratitude for what you've done, that it's not worth it, that it was a waste of your time or a bad investment of your energy? Well, sometimes people just don't want to express their appreciation. Again, for the same reason, they don't necessarily want to accept help. But again, when we're talking about emotional energy, if we are doing things with the attitude of, I feel good doing something good because I know deep down inside it is making the world a better place. Maybe not directly with this individual that is involved in the activity that I'm doing, but the quality of my performance in this is very good. It's a very high quality performance, and that energy and the manifestation of the good thing that I have done is not solitary for this one particular person in this one particular way at this one particular time. That effect, long-term effect, it's going to be the chain reaction. There you go. It's going to continue to manifest in other ways, at other times, in other places. Do you do that? Do you believe that? You might not. But again, how much of what you do is about what you experience, and how much of it is what you are putting out for others to experience, other people as well as other things. Okay, so that could be, it could take a while to do an inventory, but the really important thing to remember is the toxicity of shame. That is often at the core of the issue, right? Because of the topic, there's the issue, there's the problem. You know what? A lot of times the issue is shame, and it's like a paralysis. It creates a paralysis inside of us, because it's not just about what you've done is wrong or bad. It's who you are is bad. Well, most people don't want to think that, because that's horrible. It's horrible to think that, because then you feel genuinely paralyzed. You actually start to doubt yourself, and then you begin to resent others. You know, when you have that toxicity inside of you, getting rid of it, it's not a slow process. You have to really peel away the layers and get to, there is the source, the cause, the effect. Well, you know what? The effect is you don't have success in your life. The cause is your negative feelings. The source is whatever created the shame inside of you that is an issue. Yeah, you have to keep peeling away from the topic, the issue, the problem to get from the effect, the cause down to the source. Is it worth it? Yeah. Welcome back to the Power of Synergy. So when we're talking about the toxicity of shame, really how it's worse than guilt, it can create paralysis in people who would otherwise be more than willing. They'd be more than willing to do good things because they have so many good things inside of them. When we know that if we're not contributing to the solution, we're propelling the problem, that alone might be overwhelming for us, but we really want to get to the source of that shame and understand where it began, because sometimes it is a matter of dealing with ourselves, taking care of ourselves. That could be putting the mask on ourselves before we help others, because we always want the love and help and support that we give others to be high quality. When we know that what we have to give is very high quality, you know that the people who are around you, either directly or indirectly experiencing these things as a result of the good, positive action that you've taken, you are supporting improvement. They will also be inspired and motivated to support that improvement and to become a part of it. That's where the unity comes from. That's where it begins, and that's how it continues. So knowledge is power in these situations. For onlookers with good intentions, how much do the general public know about these kinds of establishments? Not very much. The paperwork that they get, it's not very accurate, and it's certainly not very detailed about the programs. You know what? They have some good names. Some of the charities that contribute to these homeless shelters, they offer their skilled individuals. They offer their material resources. They even provide monetary funding to these individuals who are genuinely working to make their lives better. But you know what? People don't take a good close look at how the shelters are actually utilizing the resources that they're offering to the residents. Well, maybe it's time for people to start learning about what really goes on. I've actually started the GoFundMe campaign for homeless shelter victims because the public needs to know. And what the people who learn about these different facilities is going to be the basis for what action they take. When you know things that are going on, and you've understood that you have just even the smallest ability to take action in maybe the smallest, least influential, least impressive way, do it. Do these different small things, seemingly insignificant things, because you will be contributing to the synergy of the positive action that will then carry over into the lives of other people. Even if it's just to say, yes, I care about these individuals. What I've decided to do, not unlike this marketing company, is I'm going to give a little bit of my time. These residents, they have to give a little bit of their time. And then I'm asking my viewers and listeners to contribute a little bit of their resources. That could be time or money. It could be the public support of these individuals who are genuinely struggling in a destructive situation. I'm offering not only the opportunity for these residents to get life coaching, but I'm offering to give it to them in good public facilities. The Better Business Bureau has now accredited my campaign and my company so that if you want to look into what I do, you are more than welcome to see what I do as a professional outside of this show and outside of what I'm doing currently with these charities. It's all about helping people to feel more personal power. and then teaching them how to use that personal power to create success in the world. And they do that through healthy relationships. If you are an onlooker and you do want more information, feel free to go to synergyrelationshipcoaching@gmail.com. That is my business email address. If you want to call the radio station, if you have questions to ask me during my show, the number is 888-627-6008. I'm on every week at the same time, 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern time. If you know that there are things you want to do, you just don't know exactly which ones they should be, go ahead and check out the GoFundMe campaign of homeless shelter victims. It'll explain very much, very detailed, very clearly what I am hoping to help the people who live in these places do and have and be to make their lives better. And when more people understand the difference between coaching and counseling, it will get some good information exchanged. If we have this unity of community, that's what will make a difference. And again, a lot of people who are running these places genuinely don't know what's happening inside. And the people who are giving money, right, into a fund, literally, something politically that has been created, they don't know what the money is going to. They don't know how it's being used, and they're being misinformed. So I'm willing to hire the residents who live there to walk around with these signs for the next, well, I'm thinking month to 6 weeks. I'm going to be in the Phoenix area, and the residents are going to be in the Phoenix area. And by that, I mean downtown. They're going to be carrying around these signs because I want to see when people who are driving by know that the residents are really serious about getting better, what their reaction is, what they believe, and what they're willing to do, the action that they're willing to take to support not only the self-improvement of these individuals by getting the life coaching program going for them in the facility, but also getting the recording devices that these people need to use in order to accumulate the evidence of all of the things that they are being, that are being done to them. So again, I thank you so much for listening to the show. I will be back on the campus on the week of the 15th, actually the next week, 16, 17, 18, the week of the 18th. If you want to go ahead and watch the show, it will be on video that day and it will be live. Thank you so much for listening to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona.